anyone step on the scale before and after Thanksgiving to see how you did? I did that on a cruise one time, gained 8 pounds, so I stopped doing that. Well, praise God. Excited about what the message is going to bring to us today. A couple things beforehand. Next week, we have the privilege to honor a very special person in my life, my wife. You're not supposed to do this publicly, but she's turning 50 next Sunday. And I had the chance as a husband to make this great surprise and really make it special to her, and I didn't do that. So there's a piece of me just worried about. She won't like it. So I said, "Babe, what do you want to do?" And I really love her answer. She says, "Well, 50th is a big thing. Everyone usually makes it a special celebration." And so I said, "Okay, now who would you like to celebrate it with? What people do you want me to invite over? Should we all do all the work? You just tell me what you want to do, and I'll be happy that you're happy." She said, "Well, this is where I wish. I didn't think about this on my 50th. She goes, "You celebrate your 50th with the people that are special to you. So let's have something small at the church next week so I can celebrate with my church family." And I just love that. That speaks of her heart. And if you knew everything that she does around here, you would tell her to do less. But she has such a heart for you guys, and she loves you so much. And so next week, we just want to have a little cupcake party right after service for my wife, just to help her celebrate her 50th birthday with the people that she loves. So please come. Yes. My wife said, "Tell them not to bring me anything. Just come and be there. But if you want to bring some cash, I'll put it in my pocket." She doesn't have to know about it. And then next week, very unique, and I want to announce this a week ahead of time, because if you may be going through some issues with mental health or you know someone who is, next week our series is going to the mental side. We've been talking about reboot, and today I'm going to do the last week of financial health. Next week we're talking about mental health. We've asked some guest speakers to come from Journey Church. Kevin Starkey, which many of you may know, he's spoken with us before, and he's one of our church, well, he's our church plant leader. He's been over the youth. He works at the regional office, but he is coming, and I'll probably get the name incorrect, but with Liz Orcutt, and I've heard about Liz's testimony and how powerful it is. And if you struggle with mental health, I think all of us in some way try to figure ourselves out all the time. Last night, I'm up till 2 in the morning thinking about something I'm dealing with just because my mind wouldn't shut off. And so it's a thing. But some people struggle to a depth that I couldn't even comprehend. So if you're going through that, you know someone that is, that would be such an amazing time to have them here, to hear from someone who has walked through it, and although probably still struggles, has realized where Jesus is in their life and what her true, what the answer is to some of her problems and her struggles. So through Kevin and through Liz, I believe this is going to be a fantastic service next week, and hopefully just a tremendous amount of mental breakthrough for many of us and how we can look at different things that perplex us and that we struggle with. So love to have you and anyone you can think of join us next week for that. But for today, I'm talking about something that everyone loves, and they ask me why I don't talk about it more often. Can you guess what that is? Right. Tithing. Everyone's favorite thing to talk about, correct? Tithing, actually, we're talking about two things today, and they're actually very different from each other. I want to talk about tithing and honoring God with our tithes, and I want to talk about giving. And they're very different because one is very specific, and this is what you do, and this is how you do it. But when it comes to giving, God kind of puts that in our hearts, but he has some things for us to consider. And so last week, can anyone remember what we talked about? It was in financial health, but it was a word that started with C. Anyone remember? Conflict? Nope. Contentment. I'm not holding that against anyone. I had to look up what I talked about last week, so I don't feel bad. But we talked about contentment, and when it comes to some of the issues that we have as our world, and I'll read some of them off to you again. I read a study to you. Some of the areas as to why America struggles so much financially, and then what that struggle does to us. Keeping up appearances was one of them. Unwilling to sacrifice, so when you need to give something up, you think, no, I have to have this. These are just things that have led to financial debt to many. Stuff addiction. Who here has stuff? Spousal communication, so buying things that, wait a second, we didn't talk about this, and now I had this budget, and you just screwed it all up, and what are you doing? Next thing you know, you're bringing up things in the past that have nothing to do with the finances, but boy, that one got the ball rolling. So that's huge, and it was number four in reasons for divorce, of all the reasons in the world, is financial duress among couples. Spousal communication, impulse buying, things that you just think you need at the time. And then probably the coup de grace of everything that wraps it around itself is just credit cards. I looked up credit card debt in America. Right now in 2022, this study that I found actually does a monthly update. In 2022, Americans are now $925 billion in debt. $925 billion, that's a lot of debt. And so that's a lot of, wait a second, what are we doing wrong here? You know it's possible to live out of debt? Can you understand that the pressure that it takes off of a relationship, of a person, when you don't have that hovering over you, this needs to be done, and this needs to be done? Guess what? There was a monthly average, credit cards differ, but guess what? As we go into talking about tithing, the percentage of a monthly payment on the smallest amount of your credit card is? Anybody? 19 to 22.4%. That's what, if you're out there and like, I'm just paying the minimal, that's right around the percentage that we're paying. And so you're well, Matt, why are you talking so much about debt? If we can grab a hold of what we talked about last week and allow that to bring us into this message, you're going to walk out of here changed, I guarantee you. If you struggle in these areas, and some of you may not, the giving's going to affect all of us. Contentment has to do with this. What makes you happy? So last week, we really just talked about the depth of the relationship with God. And so when that's not there, what makes you happy? You try to find that happiness in other places. And as we can see, by $925 billion, there's a lot of people that are struggling, to find happiness in other places. And what that's doing is that's just causing more stress in different areas of your life. And it's affecting relationships, and it has a lot to do with kind of a downfall in one area of our society. So a contentment, an understanding Jesus, who he is in your life, what your purpose is. When you can begin to wrap your mind around that, and as I've mentioned 5,000 times to you, and that comes through just a relationship with God and daily being in his word and understanding him and allowing yourself to understand you through Christ, that begins to happen. That's a process. That's a relationship. It takes time to build that. That contentment begins to happen because you're now finding your joy in your Creator and what he has for you to do versus finding joy in other things of the world that are fleeting, where moth and rust destroy. And so comprehending contentment is very important. But then we get down to the tithe. What does tithe mean, anybody? A tenth. So it's very specific. The word tithe is defined as a tenth. So, people struggle at times, even born-again Christians I've talked to give a tenth. I talked to one person that asked me, why can't it be a sixth? And so, my question would be, why would you want it to be a sixth over a tenth? Anybody? Say it loud, I want to hear it. It's an obvious answer. So that you can have more for yourself. And so, thank you. That's honesty, but Who are you looking towards when you ask for it to be less? Yourself. What are we paying monthly on the minimum balance of our credit cards? 19 to 22%. But we're struggling with 10. We want it to be less. And so that puts you in a heart condition of, okay, where is your mind and where is your heart with God if you struggle with tithe? And so I've talked to many people, says, man, I simply can't afford it. I like that head cock, Connie. What do you mean you can't afford it? And the answer always comes back, you can't afford not to, and I agree with that, but let me just walk through some scriptures, two scriptures, to help us comprehend how important a tithe is and what it actually means when you give this money. It's not about, hey, God, you need some cash because your bank account's low. It's about, God, I am putting my faith in you for you to direct me in my life and to watch you take care of me versus myself. So let's start. Malachi 3 verse 10 says this, bring all the tithes. What does tithe mean again? Okay, so basically bring your tenth into the storehouse so there will be enough food in my temple. If you do, says the Lord of heaven's armies, listen to this part, I will open the windows of heaven for you. Picture what heaven is first so we can comprehend what this. I don't want to smoke through this verse. Open the windows of heaven. Heaven is a place of perfection. It's a place of glory. It's a place of honor. It's a place that knows no sin. It's a place where there will be no spot or no wrinkle. There will be no depression. We will be in love with our God, happy with ourselves, and content with everyone around us. So picture this. Now, the windows of heaven are going to open up and some of that's going to come out onto you. I will open the windows of heaven for you. I will pour out blessing so great you won't have enough room to take it in. Try it. Put me to the test. That is amazing. God is saying, if you walk in my faithfulness, if you will put your security, your joy, your happiness in me, if you will put your trust in me, if you will put your faith in me, I'm going to care for you so much that you'll be able to contain the blessing. Now, forget I read the first half. Shut your brain off. Turn it back on. Are you ready? Listen to this. I will pour out a blessing so great you won't have room to take it in. Try me and put me to the test. Who likes that part? Yeah. But you can't have the second part of the verse without walking obedience to the first. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse so there will be enough food in my temple. So we go on, and this kind of answers the question about for those that just struggle. You're on a budget, and a friend of mine came up to me one time and he said, Matt, I put, you know, $2 in the offering because I had to pay all these other bills and I just didn't have any left over. I, well, God bless you. He struggled with the tenth, and I said, this is what God's asking, but listen to what God asks here. Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all your produce. With the what? First fruits of all your produce. Then, that word's very important. So if you do the first, once again, these verses, God's talking to us in halves here. Then your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will be bursting with wine. What's the first fruit? If I'm taking care of everything else, and I got my credit card bill taken up, and I got my cell phone bill all taken care of, you know. And then, you know, look at God, this is what I have left over. What are we saying with our actions? God, I'm running the show here, and I do know you, I do care for you, and you're gonna get what I have left over, unless I have nothing left over, you know. Man, this coat's nice. Boy, 19.7%. God, next, I'll have this thing paid off in 6 months. Then you're going to get yours. Well, you're saying with your life that I don't trust you. I'm going to take care of that. The first fruits, God is saying, put your faith in me first and then watch. How can you watch what God does in our lives if we don't first put our faith in him? So that first fruit. So we got in the habit, and we're in a comfortable place now, but we weren't when we got married. And we made some spending decisions that made no sense, which is probably what young couples do. And we just got in the habit of, let's just tithe first and then pray. And then make some changes in our lives and make some smarter decisions. God has honored that. I had a person one time, I hated this conversation. I was on a missions trip, and I'm sitting at a table just eating breakfast, and one of the older chaperones was there. And I was a chaperone, but I was a youth leader. I was probably 25 or so. This person was probably 45. We start talking about tithing. I don't remember how it came up. He looks at me and said, Matt, do you tithe on your net or on your gross? Net. He said, why? Well, technically, that's the money that I'm getting. So, you know, I tithe on that. And then when I get my tax return back, I tithe on that. So when I tell this story, I'm not telling you how to tithe. But this story did something to my mind, is why I'm telling it, okay? You can tithe on whatever you want, your net, your gross, your own heart's content. Just put your faith in God. But he said, what's keeping you from tithing on your gross? I said, well, I actually am not getting all that money. That money's going to the government and to, you know, all the different things, Social Security and all these things. He said, yeah, but it's your money. You've made it. Why aren't you? What his point was, Matt, I want to push you in your faith a little bit. Now, I'm not saying he did the right thing, and maybe I'm confusing you with this story, but that conversation just made me think, how faithful is God going to be to me? And so I made a decision. I sat down and talked to my wife about that, and I just made a decision. Babe, we're just always tithing on the gross. We have never been for want, ever. God is faithful. He cares for you in ways that we can't even see or comprehend or understand. And that's just the financial side of it. Man, faithfulness to God has brought us so much joy. I shared with you guys last week, some people say, they desire to be somewhat more like me, and they think it was financial. If they saw my bank account, they'd be a little upset. But that joy comes from allowing your life to say, God, I trust you with it. So I'm going to do what your word says. It's amazing how many of us have had excuses when it comes to that tithing scripture. You ever heard of the Abbots? It says to do this, yeah, but, and you come up with your own answer. So tithing is it's summed up very simply in these two scriptures. Bring all the tithes in the storehouse, so there'll be enough food in my temple. If you do, says the Lord of heaven's armies, I will open up the windows of heaven for you. I will pour out blessings so great you won't have enough room to take it in. Try it and put me to the test. Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all your produce. Then your barns will be filled with plenty. Your vats will be bursting with wine. That's what the word says will happen. That's what I believe. That's what I've seen be true in my life when you live the word out. Then we move on to giving. Well, giving is something really totally different. Giving, well, let me just read this part and it'll explain something to you. Remember this. A farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop. But the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. You must each decide in your heart how much to give. And don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure, for God loves a person who gives cheerfully. So now we're not talking about tithing. Someone once told me that this was a tithing scripture. It's not. It doesn't even mention a tenth in there. This is just talking about your heart and being a giving person. So if we back all the way up to last week, if we learn to live in contentment, really realizing that God is caring for us, and we're putting our faith in him, now when we are in life and in these different situations and see people around us that are in need, we're actually able to look at them. We don't get in our own way. Because if you're paying 19-20% on a monthly basis and you're broke and you're living, you're just struggling and trying to find joy in life, when there's a need in front of you, you're not seeing it because you're consumed with your own issues that are many times self-inflicted. And not always. I understand people lose jobs, have struggles, but most of the time they are self-inflicted. And so what this is saying is, yes, you decide in your own heart. But a farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop. So when you begin to live your life in this faith that, God, you are caring for and you are taking care of me, your eyes open up and you begin to see a little bit broader of people that you can help and people that you can bless. And sometimes it's finances. I would say most of the time that I've seen in my life, it's probably time. People just need, sometimes they just need someone who will listen. They're just going through something, or they just need help moving, or they just need, it's amazing how much you can give in just your time. In the world, passed away last week. 53 years old, complete surprise. Known him since I was 11 years old. Many of you know him. He came to church for a lot of years here, John Muscaro. And he loved the Lord, he served the Lord, and then he just did what a lot of people do. I don't think he ever lost his faith, but he kind of lived life for what was out there. But one thing that was so unique about that man was how he loved people. He wasn't ever one that would walk up to you and say, I love you. He wasn't one that would walk up and give you a hug. That wasn't his love language. But I have never known anyone in my life that was such an amazing servant that would help at any time. I had getting ready to prepare his funeral, and the stories that just keep rolling through my head are one after the other, one after the other, one after the other, of how he was there either for me or someone else and just loving him with his time. Complete selflessness, lifted people above himself almost at all times, sometimes to a fault. That there is the love of Jesus Christ. And so you see, when you struggle in faith, it's really not so much about money. When you make a decision that, God, I'm not trusting you, maybe with my tenth, you're going to fog your vision from seeing what he actually wants you to do. You are all created by God. You are beautiful beings, splendid in God's eyes, magnificent masterpieces, he calls you, created to do good works, every one of you. We don't want anything to fog that, because the good works will simply not happen if we get consumed with ourselves and what we need, or if we put ourselves in the corner to where we're constantly trying to climb out of this hole. God desires that heart, that kind of givingness, that ability where you can just look beyond and just bless people. John was one who would give you his time, or one time I just bumped into a little issue, and I don't know if I ever spin on something, and I was just talking to him, but wasn't asking for anything, and I said, I blew that grand on something pretty stupid, and he goes, well, I need $1,000. He didn't have a whole lot of money, but that was just him. When someone was in need, was hurting, he was just in tune to that. Hey, this thinking car, truck broke down, they got a head gasket going on, and all he said was, when do you want to work on it? That was just him. That is God. That is the love of Jesus Christ. I love it when you can see it through people, because it's easy to talk about. That is what God has planned for us. If we keep Christ first, if we keep that relationship, if we allow our faith in him to direct us, that's what your life can do for people. So don't get so hung up on money when I'm talking about this. Is giving is a heart. It's a condition of your heart where you can see a need and you can reach out and you can meet it. But sometimes we have to get ourselves out of our own way to do that. God will generously provide all that you need. Now, this is coming off of this last verse. So let me finish this last verse now. You must each decide in your heart how much to give, and don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure. For God loves a person who gives cheerfully. And God will generously provide all that you need. Then, that word then is powerful throughout this message. Grab a hold of what happens after the thens. God will generously provide all you need. Then you will always have everything. Those are two dependent words. You will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. See, the very thing that we're striving for, we can only get through Christ. I want plenty. I like sitting back in a heated home, enjoying simple pleasures, not worrying about, that heat bill. I love that comfort. But it comes not through how many hours you can put in, because then we're missing the purpose. So again, we're just taking care of ourselves if we can just work, make a lot of money. It comes through a love of God, finding a contentment in the Lord Jesus Christ, allowing your heart to break when people are in need, to see it, to be able to do something about it, and they realize that God has produced all of this within us. We have it. Sometimes we just get muddled in the different things of the world. They share freely and give generously to the poor. Their good deeds will be remembered forever. The generous will prosper. This is Proverbs 11, 24 through 25. The generous will prosper. Those who refresh others will themselves be what? Refreshed. What a beautiful verse. Where does your refreshment come from? It's through refreshing others. It doesn't say those who take care of themselves first will be refreshed, because that's simply not how it works. And people are, man, spinning their words and going into the debt because that's how they're trying to make it work. It's those who refresh others will themselves be refreshed. Listen to this. I always thank my God when I pray for you. This is Paul talking to Philemon. Because I keep hearing about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all God's people. Did you get that? So he has a faith, and that's produced a love for God's people. One produces the other. And because of that, listen to this. I am praying that you will put into action the generosity that comes from your faith as you understand and experience all the good things we have in Christ. Your love has given me much joy and comfort, my brother, for your kindness has often refreshed the hearts of God's people. I love that word. And it's used in both of these verses. I keep hearing about your faith in the Lord, your love for God's people. And it goes on to say, this is going to put into action the generosity. So faith in God produces love for people, which produces a generous heart. It opens up the eyes. It allows the compassion to see what's outside of our world. That if we back all that up, it all starts with a relationship, living, breathing, alive relationship with God. Being in the Word, being in prayer, being like around like-minded believers, and just building that faith, walking even in all of our faults, all of our failures, walking in that faith and building that relationship with God. It begins to open our eyes up. Our faith is now in something greater than ourselves. It just opens us up to what God has for us. Oh, I found this. I love it. I'm not sure who this person is, but listen to this. Don't judge each day by the harvest you reap, but by the seeds that you plant. This saying puts into perspective our priorities. Because if you revert it, and you're worried about the harvest you reap, who are you thinking about? You're focusing on you. But if you're worried about the seeds that you plant, you're focusing and the very people that Jesus focused about, who came down from heaven and walked all over Jerusalem, Israel, Bethlehem, all over the place, loving people with what he had. We are called to be Christ-like believers. And so this may be a word ending to a financial talk, but don't judge each day by the harvest you reap, but by the seeds that you plant. So basically, what I think God wants us to understand through this message is, be faithful to me. Start with your 10% and watch what I do with it. When you look at people that are in need, allow your heart to break for them and help them in a way that you see fit. You have to feel good about it. If someone walks up and tells you how you should give, I wouldn't listen to them. They don't know you. They don't know what you're thinking. They don't know what God's speaking to you. So God is very specific when he talks about give as you see me, because God's speaking to you, and he may be directing you to a whole other area. And so be very careful about, and when it comes to being told how to give, all I can tell you is God says give your tenth. When it comes to blessing others, pray, be open, be compassionate, see the need. And yes, there are times when we can enable, and that's what God, people have done that on accident maybe. If someone's coming up to you, you know, and all of a sudden it's a weekly thing, hey, I could sure use another $20, are you helping them? Well, we're helping them learn how not to get out on their own. So yes, there is vision that we have to have for people that are just going to try and suck you dry and not give them. But what God wants to do through his word, if we can walk in faith, we put ourselves in a position where we are healthy, we are taken care of above and beyond our measure, our barns are overflowing, our wine vats are full, it opens our eyes more to see what God wants us to do. And that's so much more than a giving, so much more than a financial thing. That begins to push you into relationships that opens you up to have these conversations that talk about the true things in life, that talks about the love of Jesus Christ, that can allow people to take what they just thought was maybe a handout and realize there's something bigger going on here. The greatest thing we can do with our lives is to spread the good news of Jesus. And as I've said, and my friend John did so well, we can do that through action. But it has to be a selflessness that comes from the love of Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. Father, I pray that you will walk through these words in this message. Walk it through our minds. Meet us where we're at. We all have different lives, different avenues, different bank accounts, different situations. But your word is the same for each of us. It's that same message that can work through all of our lives, although we are different. So may we walk in faith to you. May we allow you to speak to us. May we get out of our own way when you're saying, you know what? Die to yourself. You don't need that. Put your faith in me. Let me care for you. Let me build your faith with what I do and not what you control. And then, Father, when it comes to just giving, may we have the heart of Jesus, who wherever he walked, he was so generous. Generous with his time, generous with his ears and just listening. Generous with the wisdom that he imparted. Everything he did was to bless those around him. We won't see a selfishness in that man. We won't see someone who was out for their own. If that was the case, I don't believe he would have came down from heaven because he had it all. So God, may we walk in that shadow of Jesus Christ, living with a faith that knows that we're being taken care of, which allows us to just give freely to those who are in need. May we have the ear, may we have the time, may we have the compassion and the caring heart that just stops and offers the truth of Jesus Christ, the good news, to those who are trying to find happiness in all these different ways, all these different areas. I love you, God. I love the ability to speak your truth, I pray that this message will be received. It will be implemented into our lives. I pray for those listening right now on Facebook that your Holy Spirit will guide and direct as you speak to them. Go with us now, dear God, and allow us to apply this love, this compassion, this faith that comes through you. We ask this in your name. And everyone says, amen.